This is the Ethanol Report. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen was at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual convention where he discussed a number of ethanol-related issues with agricultural reporters. One was concern about Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson, saying recently that the decision on increasing the ethanol blend from 10 to 15% may be delayed past the December 1st deadline.
And that frustrates us for a number of reasons. There does seem to be a paralysis by analysis that has overcome the agency. And, you know, there are bureaucrats that want to count the angels on the head of a pin and look at every question and resolve every issue that might arise as a result of higher level blends. Meanwhile, they're ignoring the fact that we can do a lot today to increase our ethanol use and get beyond the blend wall. We understand that there are some legitimate issues with respect to catalytic converters that the agency wants to look at. Fine. Hopefully those tests will be done quickly and the agency will be able to resolve all these issues. But in the meanwhile, the agency has an opportunity to expand ethanol demand by 20%. If you look at EPA's existing regulations and their existing tolerances for fuels, 12% ethanol should be allowed today. They've allowed 2% MTBE to be blended on top of 10% ethanol. That's 12% oxygen. I'm sorry, it doesn't make a difference whether that 12% oxygen is coming from one oxygenate or two. And if they have already allowed 12% oxygen to be used in gasoline, there should be no technical issue. We don't understand why the agency won't take that incremental step. It makes no sense to me. I know that the administration is committed to renewable fuels. I know that they understand we have to reduce our dependence on oil. They certainly seem committed to moving forward with higher level blends when the data supports it. But this is a step they could take today, and they're not doing it. And I just have to scratch my head and say, when are your actions going to meet the enthusiasm of your rhetoric?
Another issue was whether the United States will meet the goal for cellulosic ethanol production next year as required under the 2007 energy bill.
Well, it's 100 million gallons in 2010, and I do not see today 100 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol capacity out there. So, no, we're not. The reason for that, I think, has far more to do with the financial crisis we have faced, access to capital issues that are impacting everybody. I mean, if you try to go out to get a car loan today, it's more difficult than it once was. Imagine if you've got a new cellulosic plant that you want to bring to commercialization. You go to a bank and you say, give me $250 million for this new technology and this new feedstock, and I'm going to rely upon this new infrastructure. You know, in today's environment, they look at you like you're from Mars. One of the things that was supposed to help that access to capital issue was a loan guarantee program that the Department of Energy was supposed to have. The U.S. government was supposed to stand behind these loans, and their commitment to renewable fuels was going to allow access to capital. But what's happened? The Department of Energy was slow to get that program up and running, as has, frankly, USDA's program. And they have burdened that program with so many constraints that it is virtually unusable. And there's no bank that will rely upon that program, and nobody that can qualify that program. They couldn't get capital in any case. So they've made a mockery of what Congress intended. And again, if the administration is truly committed to commercializing these new technologies, to accelerating cellulosic ethanol, then they got to get this program right. And they have to make it workable for people. And it has to send a signal to the investment community that the U.S. government is, in fact, going to stand behind this program and that you need to lend money to accelerate the commercialization of these plants.
Dineen just returned from the 2009 World Ethanol Conference in Paris, where he spoke to industry leaders around the globe about the importance of working together to fight misinformation about biofuels.
Well, there is a global renewable fuels alliance that we were instrumental in forming about a year ago. And it's been a great forum for us to get together and talk about some of those things and put messages out there. I was hoping that that message was going to be heard loud and clear by the Brazilians, because Brazil has yet to join the Global Renewable Fuels Alliance. And I think that's unfortunate because they are the second leading producer. They do have a great deal of experience in this area. And I think that they are not recognizing the fact that the food and fuel debate is as important to them as it is to us. It's not just about grain. You look at Al Gore's recent book. He talks about non-food feedstocks for ethanol, and he talks about food feedstocks being corn and sugar. These debates are clearly important to them as well. When you talk about indirect land use, we're talking about Brazil. We're talking about the Amazon. And I think they've got a lot of data that, you know, we can all share and demonstrate to the rest of the world that as biofuels production worldwide has increased, deforestation has actually decreased.
And Deneen also addressed the current state of the ethanol industry and the significance of this year's weather-delayed but still big corn crop.
Well, the U.S. ethanol industry is not immune to the financial crisis that hit our country. And so, yes, this past year has been difficult. We suffered from the volatility in commodity markets. We suffered by the access to capital issues that have impacted everybody. We suffered by falling demand. But as the U.S. economy has turned around, so has our industry. And I noted with some satisfaction at our last board meeting, the industry was much more optimistic. They saw a light at the end of the tunnel, and they weren't hearing the roar of a train engine. And so they were, once again, feeling pretty good about their future. And indeed, profitability is returning to the industry. When you see $80 a barrel oil again, it underscores the importance of our industry. It underscores the need to continue to grow and evolve the ethanol industry, and that is happening. So once again, the ebullient Bob Deneen can be optimistic.
Last question. We're having some harvest issues with the corn crop, but they're still calling for the second largest corn crop on record, even though we had a wet spring, late planting, we're having a late harvest. Corn crop still looks good. What does that say to you about the American farm?
It says they are indeed the most productive and efficient in the world. You know, we had a wet spring, and everybody was saying that yields were going to be down. We've had a really challenging harvest season, and yet still they're bringing that crop in, a 13 billion bushel crop. It ought to silence those critics that say we cannot feed and fuel the world. We can, we are, and we better. With 162 bushels per acre, a shattering the record in terms of yields per acre. It's just scratching the surface of what's possible. Because we were able to get 162 bushels per acre in this growing weather, this season. What are we going to do when we have optimal growing season? I mean, we really are not too far off from 200 bushels an acre, 250, 300 bushels an acre. And in that situation, we had better have value-added markets like ethanol, or the government better be prepared to write really big checks to farmers across this country, and I don't think they want to do that.
Thank you very much, Bob Deneen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.